You should have for this service three things. One is the Cranberry hymn book. Another is this yellow bulletin that has, it doesn't have all the hymns or everything in it, but it has the basic order of our liturgy tonight, and also then has the communion liturgy and the lovely Sanctus and Lamb of God from the Iona community in Scotland, which you'll find to be very beautiful. And please note also, as was probably announced at dinner, that on Sunday evenings we take an offering, and our current, it always goes outside the village, and our current offerings all summer will go to Theological Education for Emerging Ministry Scholarships at the Lutheran Seminary Program in the Southwest. And the scholarships are specifically going for candidates for pastoral ministry in Pacific Northwest Hispanic congregations. If you write a check, please make it to Holden Village. You should also have tonight a copy of Holden Vespers 07. You won't need this until the very end of the service, so if you want to set it aside for that, it's our practice here at Holden that when someone has been on the staff here for a year or more, we have a very special blessing for them at the end of the service the night before they leave. And Wanda Woolsey, who has been on our staff for 2 years, is leaving tomorrow. And so we'll be blessing her at the end of the service, and part of the service will be the blessing from this. So you can just set it aside till then, and then you'll know more about it at that time. Everyone is welcome to communion here if you wish to come. There's more information about Holy Communion inside the back cover of your ELW. There will be three stations for communion, one in the front, one on each side of the altar. And first there's bread, then there is a chalice of wine from which you may drink. Then there's a basket with little pottery cups. And following the basket of cups, there is first a pitcher of wine, then a pitcher of grape juice. And the server will pour your choice of that into your cup. And then there's a place to put your empty cup. So you have those options when you come to communion. If you would simply like to come for a blessing, please just cross your arms like this or hold your hands folded. And parents, if you could give us all instructions about children when they come to communion, that's very helpful. Tonight we begin our worship with a prelude dance by Carolina Stark.
Sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry. cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. With your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The hymn is 763.
Oh,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us, that we may be healed by Christ and proclaim your promises in our transformed lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held up my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks. Who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord, because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servants' sake, and will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. Word of God, word of life.
The psalm tonight we'll read together, it's Psalm 22, and you can locate it at the front of your ELW, kind of right before the hymns. So I'll give you a moment to find that. Psalm 22. And we'll divide the reading of the psalm into two groups. The first group will be all who came into the village today. And the second group will be everyone else who was here before 12:30 when the bus arrived. We're reading verses 9 through 18, or 19 through 28. Yes, 19 through 28. We'll have group 1 read the first half of each verse, and group 2 will read the second half. So group 1 will start the verse, and group 2 will come in where you'll see it's indented. So we'll begin. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid. My life from the power of the dog. From the horns of wild bulls, you have rescued me. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Stand in awe of the Lord, all of you offspring of Israel. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forevermore. All the families of nations shall bow before God, who rules over the nations. Amen.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
the gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. The demons begged Jesus not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So the man went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for bringing us safely to the close of this day. As we gather now, we allow God's word to speak to us and ponder its meaning for our lives. All this we do because we believe in the presence among us of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, God's grace and peace be with you this night and always. Amen. In the daily orientation session here, co-director Tom Alstrom is fond of saying, "This place changes people." I especially enjoyed hearing him say that at the May Youth Weekends, as a whole village center full of teenagers came to attention when he told them, "Your life will be transformed here." You could almost hear their thoughts. "What does that mean? How will that happen? Will it hurt? Do I have to get up early? Will I know the difference?" Tonight, we hear texts about transformation, about changed lives. The first is the very poignant story in our gospel. Now, just before this text in Luke's gospel, the disciples have come to Jesus and told him that his mother and his brothers are waiting for him. He tells them that his family are not those people, but those who hear the word of God and do it. The storm on the Sea of Galilee follows, where Jesus is asleep in the boat and the disciples are terrified. When he awakens, Jesus speaks peace to the wind and faith to the disciples. They go from there to this story, across the Sea of Galilee, across from that town, set in a Gentile town among people who are equally afraid of the storm that comes around them when Jesus speaks peace to a man demonized by inner turmoil and by his community. Now, the stories in the Gospels about demons are always difficult for us with our modern understandings of the world and humanity. And I don't think it helps us to get too particular about exactly what's happening with this man. Because if we follow Jesus into the circumstance, we see that Jesus addresses the demons and the man in the context of his life and his community. Jesus, human like him, human like us, enters into this man's horror to speak peace and faith and transformation to him. It is, though, a very sad picture, isn't it? Jesus hears the voice of this man in the prison his life has become. Luke notes that this was the way his community kept him under control, but even that their attempts to contain him didn't work, and that he broke his bonds and came and went from the community into the wilds and back again. Luke also notes that Jesus has to address the demons of this man twice. It doesn't work the first time. So then he moves them to the local pigs. Now, the keepers of those animals were understandably alarmed. They had just watched their livelihood go right off the cliff. So they run and let the rest of the community know, and the people are frightened by Jesus' words and actions. They want him to go away. They don't want anything to change. They know how to control what's been going on before. Their fear also disallows their compassion for this man who has been apart from them so long. And they're not even able to rejoice over his salvation, over this transformation of their friend. They can't even see how their lives will be changed now that they no longer need to watch out for him. Jesus sees the fear of the people and gets into his boat to go to the other side. And here is even, I always think, the saddest part of this story. This man who is healed begs Jesus to let him go along. It's so understandable. He hasn't been in real contact with anybody for years. We don't even know if he still has family that cares for him. He may not even know anyone anymore. And they are undoubtedly still afraid of him. But Jesus says, no, you cannot come with me. Instead, go back to your home and tell them what God has done for you. And he goes, as Luke reports, telling what Jesus has done. He goes telling how he is restored to himself and shows by his proclamation how he is then restored to his community. That is what happens in Jesus. People are saved and communities are healed. Now, the fear of the people in this story is pretty normal, don't you think? Often when people's lives are radically changed, it's the people closest to them that trust it the least. There is that basic fear that the change won't last, that the recovery is momentary, that there is no real transformation. This story tonight underscores the power of the grace of God to heal, restore, transform, forgive, and free. And that grace is sure in Jesus Christ. Now, we have a remarkable parallel to this story in Paul's words to the Galatians in our second reading. He uses the same language of the gospel story to talk about what the law does to humans. He calls it imprisonment, having a guard, just like the man in Luke's story, somehow the control that keeps us in check. But the gift, he proclaims, that changes that is the gift of faith. Now, he proclaims faith as more than just a cognitive belief system. Paul wants to make it clear that in Christ, faith is a gift that establishes a new relationship with God and with one another. We become children of God, and the plural is important. Children of God through faith. We are sisters and brothers now, not just individuals striving for some goodness. We are the ones changed by the word of God into family, just as Jesus told the disciples. And just like the man in the city of the Gerasenes, we are newly clothed in the garments of salvation. And Paul makes it clear that in Christ there are no more distinctions, no specific rules if you are one ethnicity or sex or faith, no artificial boundary for fear and for hope. We are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. And Paul even makes it clear that we share in Abraham's inheritance, making us sisters and brothers even before the gift of grace we know in Christ. As I said tonight at the beginning of the service, life at Holden is shaped by this weekly gathering around Word and Sacrament. It is a reminder to us how in God's Word, good news comes and changes people, opens conversations, frees thinking, allows for relationships to grow, encourages love and compassion, and builds community. the transforming power of the good news of Jesus, out of whose death God brought life for us all, is the foundation and daily grace of this place. We come to this table, this feast that welcomes all and is a sign and presence of Christ. For our transformation is not only once, we are daily renewed in forgiveness, daily restored to ourselves, daily refreshed by God's presence in and among us by the power of the Holy Spirit. This meal is Christ walking into our context and proclaiming us children and family. And we are called to go from this table and tell what God has done for us. Our hymn now is the number of which I forgot to write down, which is what? 808. And it is a wonderful journey hymn and a wonderful proclamation of all the promises of God, especially as we know them in Jesus. And I want to tell you one thing about this hymn tonight. It's the I should have written this down. I knew there's a word here I want that I can't think of. Anyway, the L'Arche community, which means ark in French. Do a lot of you know about L'Arche? It's a community where people who are very able walk along in daily partnership with people who have less ability in the world. And they're a wonderful community, especially all through North America and in Europe. And it's a beautiful journey hymn about this kind of community and healing relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. Jean Vanier, who's a French-Canadian who started the L'Arche communities. L'Arche means the ark. Did I say that like Noah? And he says this about it, and I think it fits so well with this transforming text we have tonight. The secret of L'Arche is relationship. Meeting people, not through the filters of certitudes, ideologies, idealism, or judgments, but heart to heart. Listening to people with their pain, their joy, their hope, their history. Listening to their heart's beat. Good news indeed. Please stand as you are able. 808.
Gathered together as God's people in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. O God, you are the source of peace and healing, the sure center of life and faith. As Jesus walked to the edge of life with those excluded by their families and communities, guide us in courage to be present with those who need us. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
O God, you are light and hope and salvation for the world. Strengthen our witness to you, your life in Christ, that we may tell everyone what God has done for us. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
O God, you have given us your Spirit with gifts to use for our lives and communities. Increase in us your energy and help us to know our gifts and to use them. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
O God, on this night we pray for all in pain, for all in sorrow, for all for whom life is simply overwhelming. We especially remember the mentally ill and their families. Give them strength and courage. We pray for all researchers and scientists who work to find helpful medications and new pathways of relief. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
God of this valley, we pray for this village, for all who work here, for all who come here for the refreshment of their lives. Make us faithful proclaimers of all your promises in our words and actions. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
For what else do the people of God pray?
We pray for Debbie Scott and her family at the death this past week of her son. He was a young man who died of a rare form of cancer. He was married with 4-year-old twins.
For all immigrants and refugees.
For the people in the Gulf of Mexico and the life that is so threatened there.
Tom Colwell. Pam Faith.
For those persecuted for the faith.
Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Please greet one another with a sign of peace.
Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the sea, stars beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way at the table to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church without end. Amen. You're invited to pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever words are most familiar and comforting to you. We pray for all things we need in the words Jesus taught us. This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to the Feast of Life. Come, for all is prepared.